Hello and welcome to The Tripod, where we break down every single NRL game every week from a betting perspective. And this week we'll be previewing round 12. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, mate. Yeah, I've actually got the day off work today. I'm doing like my uni commitments. I've got to mark a ton of assignments, which is no fun. But I wouldn't be true to myself if I wasn't watching game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Are you up to date with the score?
How about then Thunder? Yeah, well, I mean, we're going live here and it's just before the end of the second quarter, I believe. But the Thunder are showing up again.
Yeah, mate, like I'm not counting my chickens yet. I paused it 5 minutes ago and they were up like 12. But Curry and Klay Thompson basically haven't hit a shot yet. So this Warriors team scares me half to death. But once again, Thunder's up big at home. They're just such a crazy animal to deal with at home. And hopefully they can get it done for me and get a 3-1 lead here.
Definitely, mate. And it's looking good at the moment. I don't want to jinx anything, but I haven't been watching it, but I've been, I guess, seeing the updates. And it looks like the Thunder are going hacking Azili, and it's working.
Yeah, some different changes going on. They are just a more athletic team. We won't spend too much more talking about NBA, but, I mean, definitely they're the favourite in the live betting. And before we talk about the games this week, we only have four, a question we get quite often is about live betting and do you live bet much yourself, mate?
I do every now and then. Look, the tricky part about live betting is there are spots where it can be profitable for you, but the thing about live betting is, and anyone that has done this before, is you'll obviously notice that in the regular odds, let's say a pre-game bet, each side will be roughly $1.90 or $1.92 depending on where you're betting. But when you're live betting, they cut that down and the bookies take even more profit. And usually you'll find that if you're placing a live bet on a 50-50 line, it'll usually be $1.85 or $1.86. So you're losing a bit more edge there. So it needs to be a really good spot if you're live betting. I would not suggest live betting if you're not watching the game. But often live betting can be profitable if, let's say, you're watching a basketball game, let's say, and you see a big injury that happens, or you see a tactical change that's starting to work, and then you can sort of play that side. But other than that, the edge makes it a little bit difficult to make money on a consistent basis live betting.
Yeah, I agree with you. You made the point about the odds. That is a difference. It sounds like IS5 cents isn't a difference, but the margins we're working with, that does make a big difference. As a rule, I wouldn't bet live. I can give another really good example where I did make money betting live earlier this year. It was an AFL game, and it was blowing an absolute gale down in Tasmania, and the team that had the win in the first half was up 42-0, and then they didn't even have the lead by the end of the second quarter. And I realised that by halftime that the breeze was everything, and I bet both sides with the breeze in each quarter. And, like, one team, Melbourne D's, were catching 14.5 points. They were 14.5 point underdogs just in the fourth quarter, and they were playing with the breeze. And, of course, they won that quarter. So that was a huge advantage. But in general, my other issue is you've got to hunt who's got the best line. So you're looking through all your apps. It's all happening in real time. As the game is changing, the lines and prices are changing. You try and deposit money. It takes time. You call up. I know it's pretty quick with the click to call, but I've had so many scenarios where I call up and, oh, sorry, the odds have changed. Oh, sorry, the price has changed. And, you know, it's moving half a point or a point, and you're kind of like tempted to just make the bet anyway. But when you're dealing with a live line, half a point or a point is everything. It's just so frustrating. But then what can you do if the line moves a point? Your money's already in that account. You're not going to then, you know, hang up. Then you've got to deposit into another account. And generally the temptation is to bet on the team that's down and think they're going to come back, be it in any sport, be it rugby league or NBA. But the bookies do know that people love to do that. It's kind of like if you got a game that's pick 'em and one team's down 10 at half time and now that team is like an 8-point underdog and you think, oh, I can get this team plus 8. They will pick them at the start of the game. It's like, yeah, there's a reason for that because they're down now. So don't think that you're getting value. You're not really getting value because you're paying $1.85 odds for a team that is losing. So that's my advice for live betting.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And you said it, you know. And look, most of the time when a team is down big, they do come back and the score is a little bit closer at full time than it was at the half. But the issue is that, like you said, if a team's down 10 and the game was picked to start, then they'll probably be, you know, plus 8. They won't be plus 10, you know, in live betting. So You're already losing 2 points there, plus you're losing the 15 cents that they take out of the dollar. So it all makes it very difficult. And what I would suggest, and I know that we, in our early betting careers, were guilty of this, is trying to chase your losses live betting. That's never a good idea. Obviously, chasing your losses is never a good idea, but especially live betting, because you find yourself putting on more and more bets, and how easy they've made it to live bet now. You just need to sometimes just take the loss and move on to the next day.
That's it. Be cool. Be rational. Maybe you're on the wrong side, and don't tell yourself, oh, they're going to come back. They're going to win. The pod's going to be right. Like, we win 62% of the time, but we do lose 38% of the time. And that's fine. That makes money, but it doesn't if you're chasing the rare bad call. Speaking of winning 62%, we had another great round last week. I think we won, what did we win? 6 out of 8,
Six of nine, I think it was.
6 of 9 in the NRL. So that was good stuff. We've got a short round this week. We've got Origin players out. We've already given some early best bets. You want to get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it, mate. So first up, obviously, like you said, short Origin round this week. So it's only 4 games, so the pot will be a bit shorter this time. But Broncos hosting the Tigers. Broncos laying about 11.5, 12 points, and the total 41.5.
And I've actually seen a total as high as 43.5, and I do like the under. Although even one step better, I like Broncos under their team total, which I haven't really seen anywhere yet, but that should come soon. I'm going to tell you now, this is my bet of the round. We've already given out plus 12, and I've looked around. You can still get plus 12 on the Tigers. My reasoning is this. Look, the Tigers aren't as bad as people think. People kind of wrote them off as being shit when they got beat by 60 down in the Raiders, but just everything went wrong for them that day. Now, this team, yeah, they were without Tedesco, who's the best fullback in the comp. They're without Barra, who's one of the best hookers, and they're without Aaron Woods, who might be the best front rower. But all three of those players have been out for extended periods this year already. The rest of that side, this back line has a lot of unsung stars, a lot of guys that played well in City Country Origin. And the forward pack is slightly, deeper than we thought maybe. They've signed Elijah Taylor. That's immediately a lock forward that can play 80 minutes for you. Tim Grant was injured. He's back. I think this team is quite a solid football team. Now, the Broncos certainly are deep. As we know, they've got about 14 internationals in the team. But they do miss 6 very key players, including 4 starting forwards. And that makes a difference for me. I think Brisbane at home, still retaining Hunt and Milford and stuff like that, should still win. But I really think they'll be happy just to get away with this on with a win. Plus 12 is way too many.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And that's why I'm very surprised that this line hasn't moved more. I guess, people kind of thought that the Broncos would be losing a number of Origin players. And like you said, they are missing 6. And, offensive weapons like Corey Oates and Darius Boyd. But not only that, Milford and Hunt, obviously, they're the playmakers. But they thrive on getting that go forward through the forwards. And I mean, when you're missing, 4 of your big guys, getting the ball and getting those meters, it certainly hinders your attacking options. And, Tigers are, fair enough, they're missing Farah and they're missing Woods, but that's not huge. They've still got Moses and Brooks in the halves, and they can put on some points. So I love plus 12 with the Tigers, but I mean, if you've seen 43.5, I was already thinking that the total's probably a bit too high with all these offensive weapons and the forwards missing from the Broncos. I do love the Tigers as a side more than the total, but I think you're certainly on the right track. We may need to just search out the highest total, highest team total for Broncos and go under that, because it's going to be close to, in the high 20s.
Yeah, definitely. And people will say, oh, guys like Joe Offengawi and Jared Wallace have been playing well, but I'll tell you what, it is different to look good as a forward when you're the 7th best forward on the team, when you're coming off the bench, when you're on for 10 minutes spurts in an amazing team. It's a different story when you're the go-to guy. And that's what these guys are going to be asked to do this week, whether they can or not. Even if they can, I still think 12 is a big mountain to climb, actually. I think Tigers are a live dog here. Sounds like we love that one.
Yeah, definitely. So we're saying maybe sprinkle a little bit on the money line there. You'll be able to get about $4 with the Tigers, I think it is. So.
Yep, bit of value.
Bit of value. Next up, we've got the Dragons hosting the Cowboys. Dragons are favourites, 1.5-point favourites, 37.5 the total.
Yeah, I'm not as fired up about this one. We also gave it out already, the Dragons at Pick'em. And Our reason was we knew there'd be at least five Cowboys playing, but up to seven in Origin, because Gavin Cooper could have been picked, so could Lachlan Coote, so could Kyle Felt. So, in fact, it was only five Cowboys picks, but we knew that guys like JT, Morgs, and the front row, Tarmow and Scott, would be out. So we knew we had a good bet in place. For the Dragons, you knew they'd be missing Dugan, but I was desperately hoping that Frizzell wouldn't make the Origin team. Now, this is where my concern lies. He has been picked as basically the 19th man for New South Wales, which means he's not going to get a game next Wednesday. And he's actually such a damaging forward and such an important forward on that team, which is skinny in the forward pack. But he hasn't been named on Saturday. So if you've already bet the Dragons, you're kind of sitting with your finger up your butt like I am right now. But my advice would be wait and see if Frizzell gets like kind of cleared from... He's obviously in camp, but if he gets released to play because he won't be used. Because they've still got Jack DeBellin and Ben Cray, who I was hoping could have been coming back this week, are both still on the injury list, haven't been named either. It's actually a very skinny forward pack. And I look at this Cowboys team, I've got to tell you, they've still got that same amazing best back row in the comp. Jarvid Bowen is actually probably a starting centre on any other team. So he comes in for O'Neill. They've still got Coote. I mean, it's still a really good team. Honestly, they could still win. One more thought I have on this game. Well, a couple more. It's a revenge factor. The Cowboys beat the Dragons 36-0 earlier this year, which we like. We like that one. It gave me a bit of deja vu, and I realised we played this exact same bet a year ago during Origin. The Dragons played the Cowboys down in St. George, and we got the Dragons in a look-ahead line, just like this year. We actually got them plus 1.5. They closed 5-point favourites, if my memory serves me correctly. And the Cowboys fucking won. So...
Yep.
I don't know. I would hopefully take some solace out of that, that the Dragons are going to remember that one. And as I wrote in the post when we justified making it a best bet, Dragons are on the fringe of the eight. You have to be beating a Cowboys team missing five internationals. You have to.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And this is the thing that we've been saying. All these teams that are on the fringe of the eight, you know, the Dragons, those sorts of sides, the Raiders, the Warriors even, they've gotten that newfound confidence now with the Eels just basically, well, almost completely dropping out of the contention for the eight. But you're right, this Cows team, and as good as people think JT is, I think there's still a lot of people that don't quite realise how much he means to this team. And I mean, he's almost worth 6 points to this side.
I'd say seven.
The Dragons are hungry for this, you know, hungry for this win. They're at home. Obviously, the Cows missing some massive offensive weapons. You know, Tarmow is an absolute beast. Morgan, Scott in the forwards. And look, I also kind of like the under in this game with so many attacking weapons missing. My only issue is that it is a low total, 37.5. But if I can find 38.5, I'd be tempted to take up that under as well.
Yeah, I'll disagree on the total because of all the front rowers that are out. Generally, they're the kind of guys that do more of the work in the middle. I'm looking at both forward packs and I'm actually seeing some kind of explosive back rowers and what could be a more open game than we think. We'll see.
We'll see. But we do like the Dragons, but like we said, yeah, maybe hold off a few days before you're playing that one, obviously.
You want Frizzell playing.
Yeah,
you want
absolutely.
Tyson Frizzell playing before you pull the trigger, if you haven't already.
Absolutely. Next up, we've got the Raiders hosting the Bulldogs. Raiders laying 2.5 points and 43.5 the total.
I think people can see what I was talking about with the Bulldogs being a real top four side. They've played really good footy the last 2 weeks. It's all coming together for them. It's another Sunday game, so another game without Hopewadi. I guess Josh Morris actually has been named for Sunday, which is interesting because he's also in the 19-man squad. So we have to keep our eye on that. These are game-changing players. But they do retain, you know, Josh Reynolds was nearly played his way into this Origin team, but in fact he hasn't. When you've got guys that missed out on selection, I always look to them to have a big game. But they do miss Jackson and Clemmer, right, in the forwards, which are two massive forwards to lose. But this is a deep forward pack, so... You know, they're still definitely capable of winning down in Canberra. There's revenge factor as well. They got their pants pulled down on a Monday night. But you know what? I'm not going to go against this Canberra team that didn't lose a single Origin player that I think is underrated and that you know, is very solid, retains the halves, has good backline weapons, and has unheralded forwards. So I kind of think the game's about right. I'm not going to have a bet on it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I was sort of thinking that the Bulldogs might be losing a few more players, but they've only lost three and possibly even, you know, possibly even two. Obviously, the Raiders only lose for Parley, and they're, you know, I think the total's high for a reason. The Raiders are a high-scoring team, and obviously with the Doggies missing a couple of forwards, it's going to be, I guess, a bit more of an open game, you would think. But I think the Raiders are deservedly favourites. I think, you know, with the Dogs are a better side when full strength. With those players missing, they're probably even sides. So I think the -2.5 is probably fair, and the total looks probably right to me. I think it'll be a high-scoring open game. Last game of the round, we've got the Knights hosting the Eels. Knights catching 10.5 points and 40.5 the total.
And it's another one I just don't know what to do with. I look at it and I know that the spot is for the Knights. It was a dream-crushing loss for the Eels. Just absolute turmoil. What the fuck is going on with Foran? I saw him in Brisbane. He looked cool then a couple of weeks ago, but he needs to sort his life out, feel bad for the guy. Norman hanging out with fucking drug-dealing bikies, allegedly. And they, you watched the game Monday night. I didn't get to see too much of it. Maybe you can say what you thought they looked like and how Foran played. Maybe it was closer than the score suggested. But I want to talk about a betting philosophy called the Dream Crusher. And that is when you have a team that kind of has a terrible loss, a loss that kind of knocks them out of finals contention. And it just takes away that hunger. And it's just so disheartening for a club. You know, the players are fired up. They're preparing every week. They're going to training. They're preparing to win. And you have that kind of soul-destroying loss where you realise your season's basically over. And now how do you turn up and how do you fire yourself up to go and play Newcastle? You know, I'm not sure if they can fire up for this game. So the spot says to play Newcastle. You can get +10.5. But they're just such a disparity on talent. They're just so shot, these Knights. It's such a young, inexperienced team. Looking on paper, the Eels should win this game by 10.
Yeah, look, I think you're absolutely on the right track. And we talked about this when all the news came out that the Eels were going to lose competition points and that they were going to go back to zero. We said they'll come back. We'll come back their first few games, depending on how they go on those first few games. They're going to be hungry. They still believe. They said they need to win 11 out of the next 15 or 12 out of the next 15. And they're going to try until they're basically out of it. And now they're out of it. This is the spot. And I watched the game on Monday night. The Eels didn't look that bad, let me tell you. That score did not reflect the nature of the game. The Eels had a number of opportunities in both halves to score. I think they should have probably scored 3 tries in the first half. The Storm were not even necessarily, I would say, the better side. The Eels were making more metres in the forwards. They just couldn't capitalise on their opportunities. And that, I think that is the Dream Crusher that you're talking about. They had their chances there, and I know that the score was 20-0. But the Storm, every time they came down the Eels' end of the park, they ended up with a try, whether it was off a fucking bomb or, you know, a fumbled kick, something like that. So that is even more disheartening that they had their chances, they blew it. They're now absolutely rooted and not making the 8. We said this weeks ago, but now I think the players know it. Both sides don't really lose too many players. I mean, Gagai's out for the Knights, but and the Eels only really lose Jennings. But is Foran going to play here? I know he fucked his shoulder and didn't look too good last time around. So the only side I can look is the Knights.
Yeah, we've got to look at that. And if Foran's out, maybe you do pull the trigger on them. They do play well at home.
Yeah, definitely. That's the round, mate. It's a quick one today.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest we may even look at doing a pod. It's obviously Origin Fever's in the air. We're excited. Don't forget, we've got tickets to game 2. Can't wait for that one. But game 1 next week. So maybe we do a pod a day early on Tuesday to give people time to listen to our Origin breakdown. Always, yeah. You know, a couple of ways to make money betting that. Any quick kind of thoughts on Origin? Any leans betting or any thoughts about the selection?
I do like betting Origin, and look, to be honest with you, Origin's probably not the best game to bet on in the whole year because everyone is betting it, and usually that's the time when the lines are pretty sharp. I think Queensland's favoured. I've seen anywhere from like pick to Queensland minus 1.5 points. And the thing, yeah, the thing was, it was actually picked before the sides were announced. And obviously New South Wales has picked a little bit of a shittier side than people were thinking, because the lines kind of shifted to Queensland's favourites everywhere now. And the total sitting at about 34.5, which may seem low to some people. And we get asked this a lot as well, because with these Origin games, people will come and say, surely, you know, with all these offensive weapons, all these great players, you know, 34.5 is, you know, a low total like that. We should definitely go over. But the problem is, with these Origin games, they are always way tougher when there's so much more on the line. We've talked about this in regular season games as well. When there's so much on the line, the defense steps up, and Origin is just always an absolute grind. So, contrary to popular belief, when the line is that low, we do still like to look at the unders. It's always a grinded out game. You never feel stupid with the under in Origin. And we can talk about a few prop bets as well, maybe next week, like, you know, no try in the first 8 minutes, that sort of shit as well. So, but obviously I'll be going for Queensland. You guys have still got a chance to win Origin tickets for Origin 2.
Yeah, definitely. Keep your eyes out for that. Yeah, I agree with you. I think I've made money over the years betting things like either team by 6.5 or less, especially for the games in Sydney. Sometimes over the last 10 years, Queensland has blown them out up here. But in Sydney, they're almost always close and they're always low scoring. So you're right, the bookies are kind of catching up. I actually like the Queensland team. I think they picked it basically as well as they can. I'll give Kevin Walters a chance. You know, give him a shot. We don't have Valentine Holmes, Milford and Napa, but we've still picked a really good experienced side that can do the job, and I'm slightly leaning to Queensland, but I am extremely biased. And I mean, when you're trying to bet, you're either betting to make money or you're betting to enjoy the game more. And I think none of us need to bet on this game to enjoy it more. It's fucking that good anyway. And if there's no line advantage or total advantage, then you can't really make money, and so we don't need to have a bet on it either. I've got future bets on Penrith. Quick word on Penrith. Look, once again, they cannot close the game. It's an issue. Tyrone Peachey had a brain snap. But look, a lot of credit to the Titans. That team is just ridiculous. They just never give up. I read an article today, which just the headline was, Queensland will brutalise Moylan. Not what I want to fucking hear with my ticket on Penrith to make the top four and Penrith to make the grand final. So I wish that they didn't pick him, but I actually do think he's extremely talented, and you do need gifted ball players to break through the Queensland defence. We'll talk about that a lot more next week, I think, before the Origin 1.
Definitely.
Look out for our multi. We went 8-for-8 this week before we fell apart on Sunday, but we gave ourselves a chance. You know, $50 could have cashed out at 400-1. $400 on Sunday. And horse racing punters in Brisbane, we've got blokes given free tips on a Saturday morning called the Three Stooges, and actually two out of three made money last week. So good on those boys. So get involved in that. It's a bit of fun. I've got to get back to this NBA, mate. Shit's happening.
Shit's happening.
Yeah, don't tell me what the score is. I've just missed 20 minutes, but I'm gonna catch up.
All good.
Thunder up, baby. Thunder up.
Let's go. So,
guys, please.
Yeah, please.
Gamble responsibly.